Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
That's right, everybody. The show where we talk about being amateurs at magic. Why are you making that noise?
You mean a fart noise?
Yes.
Because, Megan, I decided that today would be the day on the podcast that I make fart noises after everything you say.
This is going to be the worst podcast ever. We're going to lose all of our listeners. Literally all of them.
Whoa, Megan. That was a juicy one.
Literally every single one.
Do you remember that podcast when you were making a teapot noise?
No.
Anyway.
What kind of teapot noise?
I don't remember, but it was some episode where you were making an annoying noise, and I was like, we are literally losing every listener we've ever had right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dear fans, go back and find this episode, because I know it exists.
What kind of teapot noise?
I don't know for sure. Like it was a teapot.
Maybe teapot, it was a creaky that's warming
door?
Up?
Like,
oh. Oh, okay.
Now you remember.
Yeah, I remember the creaky door. I don't remember the name. A teapot is not a creaky door.
It is so close in the world of sounds.
What? Are you kidding?
I'm serious.
It's more like a teapot is like a...
That is literally the worst impression of a teapot that has ever been done.
I'm like, wee! This is sound effects the amateuring.
I think it's
where
more
we
like,
talk about amateur sound effects.
If you want to become an amateur sound effects engineer, look no further. That was a good creaky door, though.
Thank you.
Do a really spot on impression of a chainsaw.
Yeah, let me hear it. That's not a chainsaw. That's like a little goblin sitting in a hole by himself. Like, just grumbling.
I thought you were going to say sitting in a jacuzzi.
That too.
Oh, God.
Look, I just want to point out that the fact that I can't make a teapot noise, but I can make a creaky door noise, just proves my point about how they are not adjacent in the world of sound.
Well,
they are not neighbors.
Where do they live?
They live, like, I mean, they're not super far, but they're like on different blocks, but their blocks are adjacent.
So like,
but they're not the houses right next to each other.
The creaky door noise lives next door to the noise of like somebody's wooden peg leg getting broken half.
Why is that happening?
He's a mean pirate.
Oh, okay.
And he's got it coming.
Well, as long as the wood is like a little soft and bendy on his leg, so it like bends first before it cracks.
This is Magic the Amateuring, the podcast where we talk about the game Magic the Gathering. Welcome, everybody.
That's right. We're so glad that you are here joining us today on our Magic journey.
This show is for players who are returning to the game after an absence, new players who are just starting out their Magic journey, or perhaps people that like to, you know, smile and have a fun day.
That's right. Smile and have a fun day. Do you remember track and field days?
Oh, yeah.
In elementary school?
Yeah.
Weren't those just like the best days?
I was going to say that the Halloween carnival was the best day.
We didn't have a Halloween carnival.
I'm sorry.
I feel pretty left out.
But other than that, yeah.
I'm going to point out that I was going to say gypped, but then I remembered that that's a really racist term, and you should never say it.
Well, you just said
so
it,
here's
so...
here's just a quick reminder.
You know, I don't...
But this is as a lesson.
Okay. All right. So on the show today.
Do you know what the best day at my school was in San Antonio? Was we get a day off for fiesta for the day that, because there's like a day parade and then there's the night parade, which is the Fiesta Flambeau. And then, but the day that's the day parade is a Friday and we get that day off of school.
When's the afternoon parade?
That's the day parade.
When's the dusk parade?
That's the night parade.
When's the dawn parade?
There isn't one.
Ah, found the loophole.
The loophole?
I want to find a spot to put another parade in that day
is what I'm saying.
That's fine. Okay,
like,
great.
Like, dawn's probably
just
pretty
solid.
Just
flip that in there.
There's so many parades at Fiesta. It's really great.
On today's show, we're talking about Modern Masters 2015.
Woo, you guys. That set is all the way spoiled, and we are just we are less than 3 weeks away.
Oh my God.
From Grand Prix Las Vegas.
We're also going to talk about drafting at competitive REL level. And we've got a new Dear Abby letter from a listener, as well as we're going to play Pick, Lick, or Flick, an old favorite coming on back.
Absolutely. So, you know, buckle your seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
Now unbuckle them, get out of your car, and go listen to this podcast indoors, because that's the only safe way to enjoy our show.
God damn it. For the noobs, Modern Masters 2.
That's right. It is upon us.
The time has come, friends, the Walrus said. Yes.
To talk of many things. Of Tezzerets and Elish Norns.
Of Muldrifters with wings. Oh my God, we just did that! You guys, we did not write that out. I know you're not going to believe us, but that just happened. In real life. I'm so proud of us, Megan.
Me too.
Modern Masters 1 came out last year and was notoriously one of the best draft formats of all time.
It came out 2 years ago.
Whatever. Okay. I remember it as last year.
Well, okay.
Two years ago. One of the best draft formats of all time because it was exclusively crafted to be a draft format and mm-hmm. nothing else other than to add cards into the modern pool of cards to bring prices down for people playing the modern format.
Absolutely. Make it a little bit more accessible, as they say.
It was wonderful. It was expensive to play, and it will be expensive to play coming up just because you have the opportunity of opening some mythics and rares that are worth quite a bit of money,
mm-hmm.
Including cards like Tarmogoyf.
Absolutely.
One I'm excited for. Daybreak Coronet, obviously.
Very cool.
And, you know.
As he's now called, Gryffindor Lion.
Yeah, with his scarf.
Yes.
Superfly. So it's expensive, but I hope it turns out to be as good of a draft format as Modern Masters, the original,
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a heck of a lot of fun playing that. As Megan mentioned, we've only got a couple of weeks now before Vegas.
Absolutely.
And this just got spoiled.
Holy crap.
We don't have a lot of time.
We've got so much preparing to do. I just want to talk really quickly. Daybreak Coronet.
Yeah.
So the new flavor text on it is from Bramaz, mm-hmm. King of Rescos.
Yes.
Who we know was on Theros. And I really love that they put Daybreak Coronet with Bramaz flavor text, because Theros was the land of enchantments, and Daybreak Coronet is an enchantment-reliant card.
A lot of people are thinking that Daybreak Coronet was originally supposed to be reprinted in Theros. But they didn't.
No.
And now here it is.
And now here it is with our buddy Bramaz on it.
Yep.
Being like, maybe it was hiding out in Theros. We just never saw it.
Yeah.
It's a big plane.
This
you can't
would be
see
awesome
everything
this,
on one trip.
If this was in Theros, it would have been straight up busted.
It would have been pretty insane. Lots of enchantments.
Yikes.
Lots of auras.
It is
aura specific, but still. But still.
This set is going to be released for you guys to be able to play out there on Memorial Day weekend. So we're going to try and give you a little prep so you're not going in completely cold into your LGS draft.
That's right.
If your LGS is playing sealed, wow. I mean, that's
Whoa.
Expensive, but
wow.
I mean, cool.
But awesome.
Yeah, so whew, a lot wow. of awesome cards. The wonder, so number many. One thing is every card almost is good in this set.
Yes, there's lots of good cards. Not all of them. Of course, people are always like, oh, there's so many rares that aren't actually modern staples.
Well,
but, you know, unlike a lot of draft sets like Cons or something like that, or Dragons, there's not bad trap cards, right? There's
right.
not bad cards that you are never supposed to pick.
There's some rares, for instance, in the current set that... you ain't gonna want to first pick those in draft.
No. And there are some commons that you will never want to put in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yeah, and this set, they're mainly all good. Of course, there is some sideboard sort of cards still in this set, but, I mean, you end up with so many playables by the end of your draft of Modern Masters because mm-hmm. the cards are just mm-hmm. that stinking good.
It's pretty sweet, as they say, in the bakery business.
It's like, who says that?
Bakers. Duh.
So, Megan.
Yes.
Just, you know, looking at the set, is there any card in, you know, in particular that you are excited to see that you want to play with?
I want to play Ulamog, the Infinite Gyre.
Okay, yeah.
I just love it. I love that word.
Ulamog's crusher. How about that? He's an 8-8 for 8.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. But the Infinite Gyre.
But really, because of the nickname?
Because of the name. Because of his name. That's the best name.
Some listener said the Infinite Euro would have been better, but...
Kozilek, Butcher of Truth. Really, all of these Eldrazi just have great sick names. Just amazing. The Aeon's Torn. Amazing.
What's an Aeon?
It's like a span of time.
Oh, so it's like the plural of Aeon.
Maybe.
But that's Aeons.
You're right. Maybe I'm just thinking of Aeons.
I don't know. Aeons does seem kind of like that's what it means.
Right? That's what I'm pretty sure.
It sounds like a really big word. Like it means a big thing is what I mean.
Aeon is affordable housing in Minnesota.
Oh, Megan, your alarm went off. It's brownie time.
It sure is.
We're making brownies.
It is also a digital magazine of ideas and culture.
Really?
It is also setting out to invigorate conversations about values and worldviews.
Aeon?
Oh, yeah. Aeon is just another spelling of Aeon.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's why.
Fabulous.
It is also teaching English in Japan.
I guess.
It is a retail corporate group.
You know what I want to play with?
What?
Mox Opal.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Mox Opal isn't one of the premier, you know, beta moxes, but still opening a mox would be so cool.
I don't even think that it was a beta mox.
No, it was not.
But it's pretty
sweet. But I still think, like, opening that feeling, that just the fact that it's a mox will be cool enough for me to want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. A card like Mox Opal is just, it's just cool. It's just cool no matter what.
A lot of people were very excited to see Niv-Mizzet the Firemind come back into play.
Oh, yeah. Look at that sweet. Look at that sweet old dragon.
He's hanging out. I mean, he's a classic.
He seems real smart.
I mean, he is a fire. If your mind's on fire, you got to be pretty smart not to die from that happening to you.
Drooling Grudian.
That is
my favorite
Drooling Grudian.
Drooling Grudian.
What the heck is that card?
It's just an uncommon. I was just relishing its name.
Sure. Scion of the Wild is a card that has been moved to common from rare in this set.
What?
It's one green, and its power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control, so seems
Holy
like it's
F.
good.
Holy F. That was also one green white was a rare in Ravnica, in Return to Ravnica. I forget the creature's name, but it was one green white and its power and toughness were equal to the number of creatures you control. So just as a sign of the power level of cards in this set.
Yeah, it's only one mana color too.
Something that was, a rare as recently as Return to Ravnica is at common, which is pretty darn sweet.
In case you guys are wondering, which I know you all are, about what the cutest card of Modern Masters 2015 is, I'm not gonna have a huge fanfare because it's the same card as Modern Masters, the original, and that is Gnarled Pack.
Gnarled
Pack.
No huge fanfare. It just is.
It just is. I mean, nothing. I don't know if anything could beat Gnarled Pack.
What are you supposed to do when that's in the competition?
It is just freaking adorable. It's bears with little horns.
This is very cute.
I just can't even look at it anymore. It's just too cute. Aww. I'm just going to barf. I'm going to barf because it's so cute. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I know a lot of players are also excited for the commands, the cycle of commands, including Cryptic Command.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're back.
Cryptic Command being the most modern staple-y of them all.
Yes. Our blue mages out there are celebrating that card, having
absolutely.
Returned, I'm sure.
And, I mean, why wouldn't you? It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet.
So let's talk about some of the things we're going to see, some of the mechanics and archetypes we can expect to see coming out of Modern Masters 2.
That's right. One thing that has come back is Phyrexian mana.
Oof, Phyrexian mana.
Yeah, so Phyrexian mana is those mana symbols that you see that instead of, say it's like a white mana, or would typically be a white mana, instead of having like that little sunburst in the middle, it has like the circle with the line through it.
Yes.
An up and down line, not like a no line. Like a, I just wanted to clarify, it's not like a no line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it can be in any of the colors. So those mana can either be paid with one white, for instance, if it was a white circle.
Sure.
It could either be paid with one white, or you can pay it with two life.
You know, the first time I ran across these mana symbols was playing in Omaha at that Modern GP.
Yeah.
And it was in Infect decks.
Yes. Lots of creatures with Infect are also involved with Phyrexian mana because Phyrexia was where we first encountered creatures with Infect.
Do you know the card I'm thinking of where you can either pay a Phyrexian mana or one and you get to, like, you draw two, look at one, put one in your hand?
That is the very, very popular and famous Gitaxian Probe.
Yeah, Gitaxian Probe.
Which is either single blue or Phyrexian mana.
Right.
So two life. You look at target player's hand.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
And you draw a card.
So that was a card I saw a lot of. In Omaha. And let me tell you, as a Boggles player, there was no card I was happier to see cast than that. I was like, please. I think it was scary, though, especially playing versus Infect, because you had no idea what was going to happen to you.
That's true.
Because they had no mana up. And you're like, oh, well, it can still be blown out, so.
Yeah. And one of the crazy things about Infect when you're playing Boggles is the fact that because they're usually dealing damage in poison counters.
Yeah, your life
or they are just matter. Yeah, dealing damage in poison counters. It's just a race.
Yep.
Except you started out at 10.
Mm-hmm. And they started out at 20.
Yeah, and your life lifelink.
Your Daybreak Cornets don't mean get them out of there.
Don't mean jack.
So, yeah, we're going to see Phyrexian mana again. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's very cool. It makes for very flexible cards if you're thinking, especially stuff like Instants, that have one Phyrexian or that have Phyrexian mana in their casting costs. It's just like who knows? It makes them so flexible. One of the most famous, again, you see a lot of it in Modern, is Dismember.
Dismember, yep.
One black, but the black are Phyrexian.
Mm-hmm.
One
colorless.
Yeah. Target creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn.
Seems good.
Yeah. This is even played. People play this in their non-black decks.
Oh, yeah, like, I bet.
This is such a powerful removal spell.
Cool.
So, yeah, very, very cool for sure.
So, a lot in the black and blue cards. We've seen last Modern Masters was a theme of fairies, and it was very tempo-based, and it was, you know, one of my favorite decks to play in that format. Here, I'm seeing a lot of synergy with counters and using the mechanics of proliferate, persist, and wither.
Interesting. So, wither is where a creature deals damage in the form of -1/-1 counters.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's also very powerful.
Yeah, it really is. And I haven't actually had any experience, I think, playing with or against wither cards.
Now that you say that, I don't recall having played against it. Maybe a couple of times in like a cube or something.
Hmm.
But that's about it, yeah.
So not only are they going to, you know, kill you if they can kill your creature, but if they can't, they're going to make it smaller.
Exactly. Well, it just makes it, right, it's as if the damage that you've dealt sticks around.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Very powerful, for sure.
I did not know what proliferate actually even was until I looked at this spoiler, because I've never played with proliferate either.
Oh, yeah. I think back when we were just first learning, a couple of the practice decks that we had were Mirrodin.
And Proliferate
was in there. Proliferate is the one where it's like everything that has a counter on it, put another counter of that type. Specifically of that type.
Yes.
So
what if you have two different kinds on one card? What if you have a negative one and a positive one?
Then it gets one of each of those.
Oh my god. So nothing happens.
Yeah. So here I'll read the reminder text on Proliferate. You choose any number of permanents and or players with counters on them. And or players. So a player with a poison counter.
Sick.
You can proliferate their poison counter.
Good thing there's no poison in this set. Gross.
Yes. Then give each another counter of the kind already there.
You know, if this was like choose players, creatures, or houses, give them another kind of... I would get some more granite countertops.
Where would you
just,
put them?
They would just...
Where would you put them? Your the living room. Counters already all have countertops on them.
Oh, it's on my bed. That's in my tub. Oh, look, it's in my garage.
This really doesn't sound good.
It sounds horrible.
It sounds pretty terrible.
Unless I can really move that counter, you know.
Yeah, unless you become a granite dealer. Correct.
Oh, God. Persist means if a creature dies, comes back into play with -1/-1 counter on it. And it'll keep doing that until it's dead.
Yes.
Also terrifying. We saw persist.
No, not until it's dead.
Oh.
Just once.
Just once?
Yeah.
Only once?
Yeah, it only comes back once. And then it says, like, if it dies and it has, if it has a... Oh, let me find the text.
Find one.
Because basically the way it says it is that if it dies and it didn't have a -1/-1 counter on it, then it comes back. If it dies and it did have a -1/-1 counter on it, it stays dead.
Find our friend.
Which is why it's powerful if you have a way to, like, blink stuff out. Because then you can blink that creature out and it comes back without the counter on it. And then it has persist. Like, then it can die and come back again.
Kitchen Finks is who I'm remembering from the last Modern Masters. Had this on it.
Yes.
And also that little black-red goblin dude sure did. I can't remember his name. Dang it.
The little goblin dude.
That little goblin dude.
The little goblin dude. He was just a little goblin dude.
Well, you why don't you Google it? Maybe, you know, I thought for sure I saw a persist in here.
Yeah, there definitely is one.
I'll talk about another sort of thing that we're going to see, which is exciting because if you remember first Modern Masters, there was a very strong artifact theme and you could draft some amazing decks that basically revolved around Esperzoa.
Yeah. Hold on. I'll read it to you.
Oh, sure.
Persist means when this permanent is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, if it had no -1/-1 counters on it,
I see.
Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with a -1/-1 counter on it.
Okay.
So, if it had the counter, then it doesn't get to come back. But if it doesn't have a counter yet, or say, if you blinked it out and it came back, just normal. Because if you blink something out, it doesn't come back with any counters.
Yep.
Then it's pretty sweet. It's pretty awesome. Sweet.
That is very annoying to play against.
Absolutely.
In my experience. So, artifacts. This set is even stronger in artifacts, Megan, if that's even possible. Because that was probably the best deck.
Deep on Affinity, man.
Yeah, they really did.
So, tell us what happens with Affinity, Maria.
So, Affinity for Artifacts means that if a card has that on it, you can cast it for one colorless less for each artifact that you control.
Sweet.
So, you get a super sweet, awesome deal on casting cards with Affinity.
Yeah. Affinity also works well with another mechanic that is in this set.
Yes.
Called Metalcraft.
Metalcraft.
Which is on, for instance, our friend Mox Opal, which we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So Metalcraft allows the creature, or perhaps just the artifact, to do something sweet if you have three or more artifacts in play. It counts. Awesome. They count themselves. So that's sweet.
Yeah, that is excellent.
You don't have to have three other artifacts in play. You only have to have three total.
And in this set, we've got cards running around that make 0/1 Eldrazi spawn.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty sweet.
So sure.
Eldrazi spawn are just colorless creatures.
They're not little artifact babies?
No. Eldrazis are their own, things.
As soon as I was saying it, I was like, that does seem like it would be too good. But we do have, like, living weapon. How about a germ? Is that artifact or is that just a germ?
No, but the artifact on the germ is an artifact.
Okay. Did you ever think you'd say that sentence in your whole life?
The artifact on the germ is an artifact. Yeah. I mean, I certainly hoped that I would be able to go through my entire life not saying it, but here we are.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So you've got cards, though, like Court Homunculus, which is a one-man artifact creature. So you're going to have ways for this to get enabled, you know, hopefully fairly easily. And
With those O1 Eldrazi spawn, not artifacts as I've just learned, but they will help you ramp into some pretty sweet Eldrazi, which kind of...
Yeah, which are a... yeah, that's they look like an artifact to talk but about.
They're not.
Well, they're colorless, which is what you're thinking is the quality that they share with artifacts that makes them hard to distinguish sometimes, or would makes your confusion understandable.
I would because, think, right,
most creatures are either artifact creatures, which are colorless, or they have a color associated with them.
Are there any other things like the Eldrazi that are colorless but also still creatures?
That sounds like a great thing to Google.
Google, help us out, Google.
Anyways, I'm really excited about the Eldrazi.
Me too.
And the different things that make Eldrazi spawn. So there are some creatures or spells that include making Eldrazi spawn, which are little O1 colorless creatures that you can sack to add a colorless mana. So this is a way to, say, ramp into an infinite gyre.
Think of an Eldrazi spawn like the splooge that never made a baby. And you just wipe it up and use it to create a human later.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Go back and don't do that. Can we go back and have you not say that?
Sorry, it happened. Well, that is what they're doing. It is an Eldrazi spawn and they're killing it to make a bigger creature.
Yes.
Thank you.
But a spawn is... Like, a spawn is... I'm not going to argue this point because I don't want to. Because I don't want to. I want to be very clear about that.
Oh, I know what argument you're going to make.
What? If it's surrounding the definition of spawn,
yes.
Then you're correct.
Yes.
But we're going to move on is what we're going to do.
Okay, for sure.
Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. Other fun mechanics we could see in this set that I've never seen before. Graft.
Oh, hold on. Going back for 2 seconds.
Oh, sure.
Colorless creatures.
Yeah.
We know some right now. They are face down.
Oh, yeah. Morph.
Yeah. That's morph. And and manifests.
Manifest.
Are both colorless.
Great
which
point.
Is pretty cool.
Great point. Okay, so graft. This also has to deal with counters. So, for example, a creature could have Graft 4 written on it, as does Novigen Sages. Okay.
Let me see that word.
Novigen?
Oh, like the hand cream.
There's a hand cream called Novigen?
Doesn't it sound like one?
It sure does. Could you bring me the Novigen?
It 100% sounds like a lotion.
That's pretty sweet art. 4BB, Graft 4. This creature enters the battlefield with 4+1+1 counters on it. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, you may move a +1/+1 counter from this creature onto it. It also has one colorless, remove 2/1/1 counters from among creatures you control, draw a card. It's a 0/0. So, yeah, graft, you're basically just like, here's counters. It gives you the ability to move them around to another creature when something enters the battlefield. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
So that's graft. I've never seen that before. But yeah, that's also on a blue card that I just read. So black, blue, once again, dealing with counters.
Yeah, absolutely. There is another creature that has some counters associated right now, which is Bloodthirst.
Bloodthirst.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Which obviously sounds like just a very, like the reddest mechanic you've ever named.
I love Bloodthirst. I played with it on black cards in a black-white deck that I have, a prefab deck of some sort.
Yeah, in some set or another.
Yeah. Bloodthirst is awesome.
Yes, so Bloodthirst is one of those ones that comes with a number, right? It'll be like Bloodthirst 2.
Yeah.
Bloodthirst 3, or, you know, whatever that number is. And then, so that, and in some creatures, and it means that if an opponent was dealt damage this turn, that creature enters the battlefield with that number of +1/+1 counters on it.
Yep.
So whatever the Bloodthirst is.
So
that's pretty sweet.
People have pointed out that Bloodthirst is not especially great, like if you can't activate your card with it.
Yeah, usually
your creature's gonna be
usually
pretty
the creature
mediocre.
Is like, let's see, this one that's like right here in front of me, Stormblood Berserker. one in a red. It has Bloodthirst 2. You're like, that must be pretty great. It's a 1/1.
Yeah, so...
So if you don't have Bloodthirst on, it's just, like, the shittiest.
So you better be winning if you have Bloodthirst here's in your deck.
Here's my 1/1. And it's turn 2. So, or it's, you can't even count that as a 2-drop, really.
No, no.
Unless you have, like, a bunch of 1-mana cards.
Not gonna happen.
Creatures. I mean, probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
I just realized there is mutagenic growth in this set, which is 1 green for Exian mana. Target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. Talk about horrible. What a horrible, horrible card.
Let me see.
I was killed by this card in playing versus Infect
in Omaha. Were.
And I mean, you can't see this coming. There is literally nothing you can do.
No, it's not by terrible card, you mean...
Amazing.
You mean like, oh shit, kind of terrible.
Yes.
Just like, oh fuck my life. Yeah. You never know.
I pride myself.
They can have it like, even when like, they don't have mana open.
I think I know what you have. I never ever will be able to know that.
How are you supposed to?
Sad.
How are you supposed to know that?
So you'll see Bloodthirst on red and black cards in this set. I believe that's it. Kicker is a green mechanic and also a red mechanic, I believe.
It's been on a number of different colors in the past.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what color pair they selected for it in this. It could be a couple of things. But Kicker is pretty sweet because it means that, you know, even if you draw whatever the card is later in the game,
mm-hmm.
you can pay Kicker and make it a little bit better. There's also multi-kicker, which it has to specifically say multi-kicker. Something that just has regular kicker can only be kicked once. You can only...
So Beckham, like for this, instance, like is a multi-kicker because he can kick multiple times in one game.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly.
So Gnarled Pack, for instance,
yes.
has multi-kicker. You can kick those little beasts.
Oh no!
Again and again.
They're fat little bottoms.
Oh, so that's 1 and a green for a 2/2. Right? So if you play it on turn 2, it's like totally fine. It's like, yeah, here's my 2/2 on turn 2. It has multi-kicker, 1 and a green. It enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each time it was kicked. So even if you...
Poor Gnarlith.
Just think about it. They get like angrier the more you kick them. Yeah. They get bigger. Yeah. Just like, what the fuck? What
Stop
the fuck?
Kicking
what
me!
The fuck?
Adorable.
So even if you draw this 2/2 on turn 8 of the game, you're not like, oh crap, all I have to play is this measly 2/2. It's like, no, if you have 6 lands in play, well, you can make a 4/4. That's pretty sweet.
Another green mechanic we're going to see returning is Convoke, which we had up in the previous.
This is also in white.
Yes, green and white. Previous, what did we have this in?
M15.
Right. Shittiest you can, your creatures can tap to for colorless or color of their mana. Casting cost
of whatever color the creature
whatever
is.
Color the, yeah, your creatures can help cast a spell. Each creature you tap while casting the spell pays for 1 colorless or 1 mana of that creature's color. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it also has some of the cards that go with it. Like there's
Raise the Alarm
is what I'm thinking of. Yes, thank you. To help cast them. So it's pretty sweet.
You know what's funny? I'm seeing a couple of cards that there's a card with fear in here. This creature can be blocked except by artifact creatures and or black creatures. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's an old one.
That's an old one.
Basically, they made Intimidate out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of crafted it because fear was only black creatures.
Right.
And
so like, that's so cool. Evocode won't play.
They crafted it into... something that they
These
could
might
spread.
Be one ofs because I'm also seeing an Exalted, which whenever a creature you control attacks alone, that creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
Yeah, we are seeing. I feel like we're seeing a, like a little bit of like one offs,
mm-hmm.
kind of in general in the set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of true. Something you'll see, which we saw in the previous Modern Masters, is Sunburst. This creature enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each color of mana spent to cast it. So if you want to build those crazy 5-color decks, this will reward you for that.
Pretty sweet.
Domain is also another thing that will reward you for playing multiple colors. And it gives you some kind of bonus based on how many different colors of land of mana you have in play.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. So, for example, Tribal Flames is a good domain card. Deals X damage to target creature or player, where X is the number of basic land types among lands you control. So, yeah. Nice. Pretty cool.
Very cool. I've been fucking looking, and I'm not all the way through yet, but I am done looking through all of them. As far as I can tell, there are no colorless creatures that are not either artifacts or Eldrazi's.
What about that Dryad Arbor?
I guess technically that's colorless.
Yeah.
That land creature.
But that's a pretty weird one.
Mutavault.
Yeah, Mutavault.
It's technically colorless. But those are also, like, outliers. Like, this list also has, like, the flip side of the Innistrad double-sided cards.
Yeah.
Because those don't have, like, a casting cost that give them a color.
Sure.
But the cards themselves have the color of whatever their,
their border.
What their face was. Yes.
The last one that I've noticed, last word I want to talk about is Changeling, which is on a couple cards.
Oh, yeah.
Which means this card is all creature types at all times. And this can...
all of them.
This can include, like, instants or sorceries as well.
That's right. We've seen some... There's, I believe, an instant in this set that has Changeling on it. Yep. And that's because there are spells in this set that deal with, like, the number of... like, if you cast a spirit this turn. For instance, Hikari, Twilight Guardian, 3WW, legendary creature spirit, flying. Whenever you cast a spirit or arcane spell, you may exile Hikari, Twilight Guardian. If you do, return to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. Right, so a changeling instant or sorcery is relevant for that because it counts as casting a spirit spell.
So spirits is another kind of archetype you might be looking to draft in this set as well. So
yeah, that seems pretty
that
cool.
Seems exciting to me. That seems absolutely up my alley because that seems quick and cheap and flying, which reminds me of the fairies. Sigh.
That reminds... never mind.
Say it, make it.
I was just going to make a terrible joke.
What archetype do you want to try drafting?
I don't know. I want to draft Eldrazi Ramp.
Okay.
I mean, it involves opening a mythic, but I really want it. I guess, no, some of Artisan.
You could open an Ulamog's Crusher.
Or Ulamog's Crusher,
I mean, that
yeah.
card is just straight up good.
Yeah, as is Artisan of Kozilek.
It's a common, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It has Annihilator 2. It attacks each turn if able. That's fine. Artisan of Kozilek. When you cast it, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield Annihilator 2.
Sick.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you looking forward to drafting in Modern Masters? Tweet at us at MTAcast.
Yeah, man.
We want to know. And we need to find out what's best before we go to Vegas so we don't lose like chumps.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Or we lose, but not like chumps.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
You know, like sometimes you just lose, but sometimes you lose like a chump.
Megan's cutting some brownies out of a pan now for us to eat. Yum, yum, yum. So you guys, this past weekend, Megan and I played in another pre-TQ, which was Sealed Dragons of Tarkir. And it was a whole lot of fun. It was at our local game store that we frequent, Mead Hall. You may know Mead Hall from themeadery.org, which is where our podcast, one of the places you can find it online where it's hosted. It's a social network for Magic and also a store. And we play there. And it was a whole lot of fun. And it was my first time making it into the top 8 of a PPTQ. So, I made it all the way through. I didn't lose any rounds. And then I drew the last two. Which was pretty nice because then I could go get some Chinese food. I was very happy with my sealed deck. If you follow us on Twitter at MTAcast or if you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MTAcast, you can see a picture of my sealed deck, which didn't have any bombs in it so much. I mean, my top end of my curve was 2 Scions of Ugin. I mean, sorry, Eugene. And just some basic removal and turned out to be good enough. So that meant...
Maria, you were playing 4 rares.
Well, they were not like... There's no dragony rares.
But you had some sick rares.
No Dromoka.
Silmgar Assassin is a kill spell.
Yeah.
You had an ultimate prize, which...
Yeah.
is a sick removal. You have Teemer War Shaman.
Yeah, he's fine.
Which is a 4/5 for 6 who makes a 2/2. So that's like 6 power for 6.
What I'm saying is I was not expecting to be able to win with this deck versus like a Dromoka or versus an Ojutai. Or, you know, you see these things coming up at, you know, playing in Sealed all the time.
Dromoka and Ojutai are both mythics.
Yes, that's true. I guess I was just very like, this deck can't win against that. And I wasn't, I mean, I was like, I've got these two little 4/4s. Like in draft, Scion of Ugin's not great. But I was like, yeah. I think he's better in Sealed, so let's just throw him in there.
I just remember that when we were talking about it, you were like, oh, like, it's not that good. And then I saw your picture of it, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this deck is really sick. I'm just going to read you guys some of the highlights here. What do you mean you can't win against a Dromoka? You have Opinion Feast. Like, you're in green.
Opinion Feast, yeah.
Which is a great color for being able to kill flyers. You have an Avatar of the Resolute.
Mm-hmm.
Which, no, like, even if you just play it on turn 2 as a 3/2, is a sick card.
That's all he ever was, but people forget he can block your Ojutai summons.
That's true. You have 2 Epic Confrontations and an Ultimate Price.
Yes.
Very, very good. Let's see, Silumgar Assassin, a Sidisi Undead Vizier.
Yeah.
Just in case you were ever like, oh man, I only have a couple, like, I need my Ultimate Price, too bad I only have one. You just have a way to tutor it up. Jesus.
You know what? I didn't think this deck was as good as my last pre-TQ deck, which was Dromoka plus 2 Dromoka's commands and 2 Epic Confrontations as well. But I also didn't have Ultimate Price or Silumgar Assassin, so instead I had 2 Hunt the Weeks in that deck, and that card was too slow.
Ultimate Price is so good. And Silumgar Assassin is a very good card.
So this is my thing with Silumgar Assassin. Mm-hmm. I constantly had the dilemma if I played him on turn 3 or if I waited. Because I was often like, is he just going to get removed by their first removal spell? Which, you know, sometimes you do just remove their first morph that you see played. But I was like, I feel like it was worth it in all the situations where I played him on turn 3 face down to immediately kill their morph when they inevitably played theirs the next turn. And then you swing in for 3 and, you know.
Very cool.
That's all she wrote. So, yeah, I guess it was a pretty fun deck to play. I felt really, you know, confident with it by the end of the day anyway. And then Megan and I got in the top 8. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I had to draft competitive Ariel level draft, and you've had to do this in a top 8 of a PTQ.
Mm-hmm. It's a little weird.
It is very strange.
You don't get to look at your picks.
You can't look at your picks, and your picks are timed. And there is a judge standing over you, yelling at you to take a card.
April was not yelling.
She was like, you need to take a card. In a very nice, wonderful tone.
Were you taking too long?
No, not me. I was very good. Oh. I was a good child.
Okay.
But nevertheless, it's pretty stressful not to be able to look at the cards that you've drafted.
That was the craziest part for me, is like, you just have to hold it in your head.
Yeah, you just have to remember. And then sometimes you'll be like, oh my god, what did I have more of this one color, or did I have more of this one color? Which one did I have that really sweet card in? Was it, oh fuck.
Yeah, and you do get to look at all of your picks together in between packs.
Yes, you have like 45 seconds or something.
Yeah, so it's a good time to like, just like, you also need to be able to pretty quickly assess that. Like,
yeah,
okay, how many playables do I have? How many creatures do I have? Like, what am I missing? 45 seconds.
It's not enough time. I thought it would be enough time. When I watch drafts on the Pro Tour, I'm like, oh, they have enough time to look at their stuff. They have enough time to look through that pack. Yeah. It's not as much time as it seems like. Oh, God. Anyway, I drafted literally, Megan, the worst deck I've ever drafted.
Give us a few highlights.
Do you want to know what my pack one pick one was?
Yes.
To give you just a view of how great I started off. Defeat.
Ugh.
That was my pack one pick one.
What else was in the pack?
All I can remember is that the rare was that like X red red that does something that nobody ever plays.
Oh, Commune with Lava.
Yes. And that was also the pack I got past. So similar print run.
Rares aren't on my print run.
Okay.
That's just common print.
That's just Rando.
Yeah.
Rando Calrissian. Okay, so, yeah. I picked up, like, a Flatten, which I was happy about, and then, like, something else, and then Black was cut.
Defeat is like a really, really mediocre card.
I think it's a fine card, but there was, I mean, the pack must have been very, like,
it must have been miserable.
Really weak. And I continued, and then black got cut off. So I picked up red. I wanted to be red-black, obviously. It's the best color combination, IMHO. And I managed to get enough red. But then I kept waffling between white and black because I was getting mixed signals about them. And I ended up just with the most miserable red-white deck.
Boo.
I mean, I had to play an Irration Cleric in it, which sometimes, if you have enough two drops, whatever, I forgive you, but I didn't. If you have a War Flare, sure. I did not. Anyway, it was just disgusting. And then I, like, also drew a million lands, but, like, I can't blame it on that because the deck was awful. So I completely nerfed my first draft, although I don't want to say it's because it was competitive REL and I couldn't look at my picks. I think that I honestly was like thinking back and I'm like, what could I have done differently? And I'm like, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
That's fair. Sometimes
I think it was a pretty messed up draft.
Like, it's interesting because I was also that evening watching the Grand Prix Atlantic City draft.
Yeah.
And they covered both LSV and Jacob Wilson's draft.
Oh my god, obviously. Did you see LSV's deck?
Yeah.
Blue-black, like...
Oh, that was from earlier in the day.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Amazing.
His two draft decks from the two drafts during the day were insane.
Yeah.
Which he 6-0'd that day because he was 7-2 after day one.
So look at those.
He had to 6-0 to make the top eight, and he just did.
Go look at those decks if you haven't on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're like a dream.
They're insane. One of them has like 5 Haven Surveyors. Literally.
Bounce,
it's like
bounce,
either
bounce,
four
bounce.
Or five.
Ugh.
Anyways, yeah. But so they cover both LSV and Jacob Wilson in the top eight. Obviously two like multiple time pro tour top eighters, like really, really great players.
Yeah.
And they talk about how like each of them, like LSV especially, was just like in a difficult seat to draft. And he opened kind of like these really sweet red and black rares, and was also like the signals were kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, like he had such, like, he opened like a Crux of Fate and a Thunderbreak Regent.
Oh man.
And something else in red that's just like, you really want to play those cards, right? And like sometimes,
yes,
like there is such thing as a difficult spot at the table sometimes.
That's very true. And I would just venture to say that I think our entire table was a little wonky.
And sometimes that happens too. A friend of the show, Matthias Hunt, has been known to say that he actually loves when
the whole
table is fucked because he feels like that's when he does his best.
I mean, like, that's
like he's
fair.
The best at making
it work.
Exactly. God, what's at making silver linings out of other people's clouds?
Make
That's
it work.
That's not the phrase that I'm looking for.
No, and I thought the same thing, too. I'm like, these signals are all over the place. Perhaps I can make the most of this. Well, making the most of it would be, in that case, I think, having the more powerful cards would be what you would want. Even if, say, your curve is just fucked. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, at least I have these powerful cards.
Yeah.
Which I did not. So my opponent in the first round also, to be fair, had a very bad deck, too. But he did have, like, Stampeding Elk Herds. So, in the end, that's what all you need, right?
Sometimes a 5-5 is all you need to get it done.
Yep. So that's the story of my first PPTQ Top 8. Hopefully first and not last. Because that was a bitch of a way to go out. But it was still an accomplishment that I wanted to meet. And I'm glad that I did.
Absolutely.
So now Megan and I both have a Top 8 in a pre-TQ under our little belts.
That's right.
Yeah.
My belt's a big belt. It's very stylish.
Oh, my belt's like a skinny little belt.
That's pretty stylish, too.
With like a knife tip on the end.
What?
So you can, I don't know.
Cut people? I assume?
Dear Abby, this is a Dear Abby we got tweeted to us.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
All right, here we go. Dear Abby, I always considered myself a one walker guy, but now I can't decide between Liliana, Narset, Tamiyo, and Elspeth. Help! Ooh, tough question.
God, it really is. It really is.
I'm a one walker girl, and my walker is Walker Texas Ranger.
Ooh.
Okay. Just kidding.
I mean, if that's what you want.
My walker is the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. How about that? All right, the correct answer is Ileana. Megan, how do you respond?
God, for me, it's between Narset and Elspeth.
Yeah, I'm going to go
I just appreciate, Narset is a great warrior.
Yeah, she's really good.
She's super bitchin'. She's really learned.
Yep.
And Elspeth is also, a kick-ass soldier and a leader of others.
If I'm being honest, brave. If you want a supportive relationship, Elspeth, I think, is the one to go with.
That's true. But, if you have Wanderlust, then Narset is totally the right pick.
And if you're into S&M, Liliana all the way. I've never played with Tamiyo, so I don't know about her.
She's I feel like dating Tamiyo would be like dating a foreign exchange student. It's it's a lot of fun. You guys have a great time together, but it's not gonna last.
Because she's gonna be off to bigger and better things.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, there you go.
So there you go. I think Marcia is my final answer.
It's time for Flavor Text Theater. Pick, lick, or flick.
Yeah. Yay. We're going to crack a sweet pack here.
Yes, we are.
Get ready.
We haven't played pick, lick, or flick for a while, so I'm pretty excited.
You want to explain how it works?
So we're going to take three cards randomly out of this pack, and we are going to decide, this is basically a variant on Marry, Fuck, Kill, which of these cards would we pick, a.k.a. marry, which of these cards would we lick, a.k.a. fuck, and which of these cards would we flick, a.k.a. kill.
That's right, and pick is usually based on card quality.
Yep.
Lick is based on attractiveness of the card and or art.
Yep.
Flick is just screwed just all
like,
over.
Just screw this card.
Fuck that thing. All right, here we go. Here's okay. Our first three contenders.
Okay.
We have Dyrgur Nemesis.
Dyrgur Nemesis.
Colossidon Yearling.
Oh, no.
Different
card entirely.
And Ojitai Summons.
Oh.
Ooh, I've got mine.
So do
got
I.
Got it all the way. Maria, what do you pick?
I'm going to pick Ojitai Summons, of course.
Me too. What? Just an all-around sexy,
I mean,
marriage-worthy
card. Marriage-worthy. Put a ring
really,
on it.
Please. Love it.
I'm going to lick Dyrgur Nemesis because it's a big serpent. Wink, wink. And I'm going to flick Colossidon Yearling. I mean, God damn it. Colossidon Yearling because that's pedophilia.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably white. You're probably white also.
I mean, probably.
Having known you for several years now, I've come to the conclusion that I think you're white.
Oh, God.
I've never looked at the, I think these are little dragons flying around this giant serpent.
Really?
Yeah, look at them. They're little, I think they're Ojitai's breed.
Oh, you're right. I didn't notice
them
either.
So that's pretty sweet. He's huge. I'm gonna agree with you on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a rough night, but.
All right, we have Ancestral Statue.
Okay.
Dramoka's Gift.
Ooh.
And Berserker's Onslaught.
Ooh, wow. Tough.
Yeah, it is.
Tough one. Okay, I've got it.
Oh, hold on. All right, me too.
All right, I'm going to pick Dramoka's Gift.
You know what? I originally thought so, but Alexander Hain took it to the finals of GPAC last night with Berserker's Onslaught.
Yeah, he sure did.
In the right deck, that card is fucking insane.
I've played against it and lost hard against it.
Yeah.
But I've also had it in my deck and had it do nothing.
Yeah.
It's very, either or.
Yeah. Dramoka's Gift is also definitely, that's another card that I had very much underestimated.
Dramoka's Gift is great.
Instant bolster four.
You know, some people are like, oh, you can get blown out with it. I'm like, well, not if you really play it right. I mean,
hopefully you're the one doing the blowing out.
Yeah.
Like a hairstylist.
Oh, okay. So obviously I'm going to lick Berserker's Onslaught. Although that also seems...
Because you like a group of dirty men?
Oh, Megan, you know me too well. I'm going to flick Ancestral Statue because no thank you. I don't want to bounce a creature back into my hand.
It's actually just a permanent.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, man. So, and it works okay if, you know, if they're, pacifying your shit left and right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's It's pretty sweet.
I didn't think about that.
Huh. I guess I'm gonna lick Dromoka's gift.
You're gonna lick Dromoka's gift.
God damn it.
Oh god. Okay, right. What's next?
Here you go. Dromoka Dunecaster. Sprinting Warbrute.
Wow.
And Colligan Aspirant.
Tough choice here.
Well, I'm gonna pick Sprinting Warbrute.
You know, every day. Even though that seems like it would be kind of like a one-sided marriage.
It really does. He's always running away from you.
Yeah. You're like, dinner! Come and eat dinner with me! Oh, fuck. Fucking anyway.
He's never around.
Yeah.
Definitely
licking Colligan Aspirant for me.
Really? Like, I feel like both of these are just like, just like, you know, like, hot, hard-working chicks.
I mean, Dromoka Dunecaster is just gonna tap that all day. But really, I'm flicking her because I had to put two of them in my horrible draft deck, and they were pieces of shit.
One is actually good.
And I hated myself for it.
One is fine. I play one of these in green-white all the time. I don't know. I think I like Dromoka Dunecaster. I like magic.
Okay. All right.
The magic kind.
Oh, got it.
You know, she does magic.
She casts dunes, whatever that means.
We have Battle Mastery.
Okay.
Coat with Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And a foil, Myth Realized.
Ooh. Look at you, double rare.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we obviously both... pick yes. This beautiful foil Myth Realized.
Not only a beauty, but one who can do stuff for us early in the game and late in the game.
Yeah, just pretty sweet in general.
You know what I mean? Definitely gonna lick.
I definitely at one point had like a 10-10 Myth Realized.
Yes, I've done that too.
Against someone.
You're just like,
I was just like, you gonna fucking do something about this?
Or are you just gonna let it happen? Okay. All right. Coat with Venom is my lick.
Which, Maria, I'm gonna die though. I don't think you're appropriately going with how they look for licking.
Oh. Well, that's true. Remember, so I'm not going to lick this
licking
serpent.
Is about...
Okay.
Licking is about which one's more attractive. And, like, Battle Mastery, again, it's just like a fighting
it's a human.
Lady.
At least it's a human and not a snake, I suppose.
That's true. Not a giant dead snake.
It's not dead. It's... Right?
You're probably right.
Or maybe they stole its venom to put on that sword.
I think it's Silumgar. It's Silumgar and his venom is all over the blade.
Then I'm definitely licking Silumgar.
Weird. All right, let's see what our two leftovers are.
Okay, the two sad.
The two sad ones. Dromoka Warrior and Bell Toll Dragon.
Oh, those are both contenders.
Yeah, man. Let's see. I guess it depends on what deck I'm playing.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right, I feel like this pick is totally color dependent.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
All right.
Pick, lick, or flick.
This has been another episode of Pick, Lick, or Flick. Chick.
You didn't think I was going to do it, did you?
But I did it! Well, everybody, that's this episode of Magic the Amateuring. Thanks for hanging out with us. I hope you know a little bit more about Modern Masters, as well as which cards we deem sexually attractive in Dragons of Tarkir.
Absolutely.
If you want to get a hold of us, tweet at us at MTAcast. Join our Twitter family. It's a great party up in our Twitter feed.
Absolutely. It is.
Really is.
You can also get a hold of us at magictheamateuring@gmail.com or send us a message on our website. We have a little contact form on there, magictheamateuring.com.
You can listen to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, mtgcast.com, themeatery.org, or, you know, in your brain if you like to imagine our voices up there.
Sure, why the heck
Which
not?
Is kind of funny. Somebody, I think, tweeted at us like, because we were playing at this PPTQ and we were streaming, our store was streaming it, and I tweeted out a link to watch Megan and I play, and somebody was like, it's funny to remember that you guys actually play Magic and you're not just crazy voices in my head.
Yes.
It's true. We are not just crazy voices. We are, in fact, real human beings.
Unless the whole universe is a hologram.
Well, yeah. I mean,
in which case, fuck. Who the fuck knows?
I really hope we are, because then it doesn't matter if there's no point to life. You know what I mean?
Actually, when I was reading that, I feel like everyone, when I read the two articles that are along those lines, one that was like, evidence says that this is a computer simulation, the other was like, evidence points towards we're just all holograms. I was like, what a fucking relief.
That's exactly what I thought too. I was like, oh my god, then nothing matters. Fuck, that's so awesome.
Like, oh, thank god.
You know, I read an article too recently about this, and they were kind of like, it doesn't necessarily mean if we're two-dimensional that we're a hologram or a computer simulation. It just means that the three-dimensional nature of space is an illusion.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, that's stupid. I want to be a hologram. But anyway, aliens, if we are in fact a hologram, thank you. You have taken a big weight off our shoulders.
Yeah.
I don't feel responsible for doing anything with my life anymore.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Megan?
Yeah.
Got you good.
Oh man. I guess I just thought about like, oh, now I really can just focus on being nice, like being kind and doing the things that make me happy.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about what is the grand purpose.
Yeah, but why were you, you know, now then you think about, like, why am I worried about that anyway, you know?
I guess.
Truth slap.
Fart noise.